This is Hugh Baird, and I'm your moderator for this evening's discussion. I'm here with State Senator Vincent Hughes, and we want to welcome you to this live telephone town hall. If you have a question for Senator Hughes or any of his guests this evening, you can press star 3. That's star 3 on your phone's keypad if you have a question for Senator Hughes or his guests. Now I'd like to welcome Senator Vincent Hughes.
Thanks, Hugh. Good to hear you back this week, sir. Appreciate you, man.
good to be back, Senator.
Good, and we appreciate you. Look, we want to thank all of our constituents for calling in, for participating in tonight's call. We're holding this live telephone town hall where we'll be talking about the coronavirus and Pennsylvania's June 2nd primary election. We'll be talking about the coronavirus and any updates and new information that we need to know around the healthcare side of the coronavirus pandemic. And as you know, we moved the primary election in Pennsylvania from April 28th, which would have been yesterday, to June 2nd, because we thought that the legislature and the governor believed that it would not be a safe or wise decision to have the primary election as we were in the throes and still remain in the throes of the coronavirus pandemic. So tonight's conversation, as I said, we always talk about healthcare. We always try to answer healthcare questions, but we're really going to focus tonight on questions around the election, not any candidate-specific questions, but questions around the process, how you can vote by mail, potential issues that folks need to be paying attention to going as you get closer to election day, any new systems that may be in place in both Philadelphia and in Montgomery County, so that we can make sure that everybody is fully informed about the changes in the law around elections and that everybody is fully informed about how we especially want to try to get folks to vote early, to vote by mail, vote from the comfort of your own home. Remember, if you have any questions for myself or any of our guests, all you have to do is press star 3 on your phone, and you get placed into the queue. Press star 3 on your phone, and you'll get placed into the queue, and we'll try to get all the questions in. We're here for an hour, so we want to try to be a bit rapid fire in terms of trying to deal with everything we've got. I want to introduce, we have two doctors, two physicians on the call with us this evening. There's a great surprise about these two. They're wonderful doctors. Dr. Elena McDonald and Dr. Delana Wardlaw. And I'll tell you about the specialness of those two individuals in a little bit. Dr. McDonald, how are you this evening?
I'm very well, Senator Hughes. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. Dr. Delana Wardlaw, how are you this evening?
I'm well, Senator. Thank you for having me this evening.
Thank you so very much for being with us. They are, Dr. Elena McDonald is with Memphis Street Pediatrics, and Dr. Delana Wardlaw is with Temple Physicians, the Temple Health System. And of course, our other two guests this evening are Montgomery County Commissioner Ken Lawrence. Ken, how are you this evening, sir?
Very good, Senator. How are you doing?
Great. Thanks for joining us this evening. And Philadelphia City Commissioner Omar Sabir, how are you this evening, Omar?
I'm doing well, my Senator. Thank you, man.
Very good. Thank you, man. Thanks for joining us. We always want to make sure that before we, in any conversation that we have on any format that we're involved in, we always want to make sure that we have, especially in this time of with this pandemic, that we get updated information from trusted messengers providing trusted messages. We want to make sure that they have that opportunity to give us the latest that we need to be thinking about around COVID-19 and the corona, which is a part of the coronavirus situation. The doctors will be with us throughout the evening to answer any questions. But I'd like Dr. Elena McDonald to begin the conversation. Give us an update, Dr. McDonald, on what it is that you want the constituents of the 7th District to understand about where things are with this very, very serious disease. Give us about 1 or 2 minutes, and then we'll go to you, Dr. Wardlaw, right afterwards.
What we want people to know is that coronavirus, also known as COVID-19, is still here. It is still here, and it is still affecting lives and killing people every day. And I want people to know that it's affecting African Americans at a much more disproportionate rate. And we want to make sure that people are doing the things they need to do. Stay at home. There's still a stay-at-home order. If you have to go out for essential things, wear your mask over your nose and your mouth properly. Make sure you're washing your hands frequently. Also want to let people know that there is testing that's going on throughout the city. If people need testing, the Black Doctors COVID-19 Consortium is providing free testing at different sites throughout the city for people who have symptoms.
Thank you, Dr. McDonald. Dr. Wardlaw, what would you like to add?
I would like to add that the CDC this week have added new symptoms that patients should be on the lookout for, which we were already telling patients of anyway, but the CDC came out with an official announcement today, and that includes that aside from the fever, the cough, and the shortness of breath, muscle aches, sore throats, headache, new loss of taste, and new loss of smell, all those things should also be considered as symptoms of coronavirus, so we do need to take that into consideration as well. Also want patients to know that with testing, the testing is most accurate if you have symptoms. So that is why we drive home that people who have symptoms are the ones that are recommended to get the test. Even though patients can be asymptomatic and still carry the disease, people who have symptoms, the test is more accurate than people who have symptoms.
Great. Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Wardlaw. We appreciate you. And please thank you so much. I was in a conversation a Zoom conversation last night with the Delta Sigma Theta sorority, Delta Sigma Theta Incorporated, okay? Make sure I say that right. And Dr. Stanford was part of the conversation, and I'm really proud of you and she and the two of you for really being aggressive about dealing with this testing issue to make sure that we get some equity and make sure that we get full access to everything as it relates to testing and the appropriate health care that goes along with this. And understand, again, this disease is real. It's serious. It is troubling. It is, and I'll use the word resilient, it seems to be. This virus seems to be resilient. And it is something that, based on what I've seen, that when people get it and it's got a hold of them, it can be very, very, very difficult, very, very difficult to deal with. We've got a couple phone numbers and a couple websites, and then I'm going to go to our two commissioners. We always want folks for any questions around the coronavirus. A great 800 number to utilize, 800-722-7112, 800-722-7112, and 877-627-9955, 877-627-9955. Those are toll-free numbers to trusted messengers giving out trusted information about pretty much anything as it relates to the coronavirus and this really destructive pandemic that we're dealing with. As we said earlier, the laws have changed with respect to voting, and now that we're in a real countdown mode with respect to preparing folks for voting, new machines, new systems, new deadline. We're really lifting up the issue of voting in all of our public conversations and our private ones as well. And we thank our two commissioners, Commissioner Ken Lawrence from Montgomery County, Commissioner Omar Sabir from Philadelphia, for joining us this evening. Ken, in a minute, maybe minute and a half, 2 minutes max, what are the latest things that you want folks to know around voting issues and voting changes in Montgomery County? For our Philadelphia constituents, the 7th Senatorial District comprises portions of Montgomery County, Upper Dublin, White Marsh, and Conshohocken. And Ken Lawrence has been a friend for a long time. Again, one of our trusted messengers, always with good information. And so, Ken, speak to the folks about what the changes have been made that have been made in Montgomery County.
Okay. Thank you, Senator. It's hard to believe that yesterday would have been the primary election day, but in many ways it's hard to believe that we're actually going to have a primary on June 2nd as well with where we are right now. We're going to have to significantly reduce our number of polling locations for the June 2nd primary, and we're working on that plan, so people need to stay alert to that. You will be notified. But typically we would have 425 polling locations. We will have nowhere near that. And since the senator said a minute and he'll cut me off, the safest and best way to vote in this election is by mail. The state legislature passed no excuse, vote by mail. And that's the best way to keep yourselves safe, to keep our poll workers safe. We will have the option to do it. But we're encouraging everyone to vote by mail. And it's not a political argument. This is a public health issue. So the May 26th is the last day to apply for a no-excuse mail-in ballot. May 18th is the deadline to register to vote. The voted mail-in ballot has to be returned by June 2nd at 8 p.m. And one thing I would emphasize to people is that we've heard from the Postal Service that normal mail, that which would typically take 2 to 3 days, is taking 4 to 6 days. So you have to account for that when you're sending in your application, when you're returning your ballot. So I will end with that, and I guess my colleague from Philadelphia will be next.
Thank you, Ken. Appreciate you, sir. Omar Sabir, Commissioner Sabir, tell the folks what it is, that 1 or 2 minute brief blurb. You've been all over the radio. I heard you earlier today on WURD. Tell the folks what you want the folks to know about the new voting laws and how it impacts people in the city of Philadelphia.
Okay, well, thank you for having me, Senator. I just want to let everybody know, to vote from home. That's the way how I'm voting. That's the way how family is voting. And to be safe. And what we're seeing, even in the 7th Senatorial District, we're seeing that a lot of African Americans are not participating in the process. We compare it from the black ward to the white wards, and it's disproportionately, we're seeing people not doing it and not applying. I know there's a lot of, doing something different for the first time. People have a lot of fear and a lot of anxiety. But, that's the way to vote. As my colleague from Montgomery County spoke earlier, people talking about polls being open. We have 831 polling locations. We'll release a plan next week, but it's going to look, it's not going to be no more than 200 polling locations open. If that, it might be somewhere around 100 polling locations open. So that's what, June the 2nd will look like. So, again, we're telling everybody, to vote from home and apply, online. That's the best way to do it. If you go to votespa.com, it takes less than 3 minutes. If you have your ID, you have a driver's license, you can apply. And that's the easiest way, because you have your confirmation number. And when you receive your ballot, we actually started mailing out the ballots this week. When you get your ballot, please don't wait until the deadline to send in your ballot. Send your ballot, complete it. You have return postage. We're paying for the postage for you to return for it. And if you can't, if you're sick and you're shut in and you can't make it to the post office or a mailbox, your mail person, when they're delivering mail, because I'm still getting bills, so the mail service is still working, and they're coming faithfully, they're coming right on time. So, when they're coming delivering their mail, you can actually, give them that return ballot and they'll take it.
There you go. Thank you, Commissioner Sabir. Appreciate you. Everybody remember, please remember, and I'm going to pick up the phone here. Please remember, press star three, if you have any questions that you'd like to get lifted up in this conversation. For folks who have concerns around your Corona check, you're getting that payment, the economic impact payment. The best website that we know that's available is the IRS website, irs.gov, irs.gov. that provides a way for you to even track down what's going on with your personal impact payment, with your personal check. For folks who are struggling with unemployment compensation, the state of the best website for folks to utilize for unemployment compensation is UC. That's for unemployment compensation. UC.PA.gov. UC.PA.gov. And there's a way to navigate that website to answer any questions that you might have with respect to unemployment compensation. I know that's been a big issue, both of those, around accessing the funds. And, of course, for those who are interested in their small business, if they have a small business, they're trying to get their money through the second Paycheck Protection Program tranche of funds that's coming through, you go to sba.gov, sba.gov, Small Business Administration, sba.gov. Hugh, we want to start taking questions. We'd like to focus the lion's share of questions on voting-related issues. We have our two commissioners here to help address that, and we always want to take any health questions that might come up, because we've got these two fabulous doctors with us this evening who've got a secret that we won't reveal until the end of the call about these two. So they're friends. They're good people. They're good people. All right, Hugh, so what's the last message before we start taking taking some calls, man?
Just as a reminder for those that have joined us, and I know you just did, but if you have a question for Senator Hughes or any one of his guests tonight, you can press *3 on your phone's keypad. Senator, let's go to Robert in Overbrook. Robert, go ahead. You're live with Senator Hughes and guests.
Hey, Senator Hughes, how you doing?
Hey, Rob, how you doing, man?
I'm doing good. Before I get to my voting question, I wanted to ask the doctors a question about because I go down to Center City to see homeless people 3 or 4 times a week, and there's a lot of people, I know they're telling us to stay in the house, but there are a lot of people that don't have homes to go to, and they might be susceptible to spreading the virus because they don't have anywhere to go. Why is that health concern not being addressed?
Well, this is Dr. Wardlaw speaking here. There have been some ways that the city, I believe, have been trying to address that issue in regards to people having access to, I believe that some hotels may have opened up. I'm not exactly sure on that, so I'm going to step back on that. But let me just see if your question is in regards to, there are still health centers that people can go to that if they don't have an address, they can go to the health centers to get testing if they're concerned about testing. There is the Black Doctors COVID-19 who do free testing for people who have symptoms. So there are some areas that are being accessed to allow folks who have barriers to testing to get this testing done. Does that answer your question?
Not really, because when I go down there to speak to those clients, their major concern is getting something to eat, as opposed to testing. Or I think that they're just being overlooked, and that's a danger to the rest of our society, because those are the people that are going to continue to be infected and to pass the infection on.
That is always, Rob, that is always a challenge, always an issue, trying to get the right services connected to individuals who are suffering from homelessness. As you know, since you spend a lot of time working with them, it is not the easiest problem to solve. It's complicated, many issues around behavioral health issues and things of that nature. So, you know, we will continue to pay attention to that. I'll lift that issue up with our folks with the City of Philadelphia who have a homeless support program, and see how it is that they're addressing it. But I know you know that is a very difficult constituency to try to really wrap your arms around, but we got to keep trying. We got to keep working on it.
That's right.
Because it's very susceptible.
Mm-hmm.
Go with your voting question.
I know I heard Mr. Sabir talk about votepa.gov, but how do we actually learn?
VotePA.com.
How do we learn what the issues are. I mean, what the candidates are running for, what they're running against, what they're standing for. Because it's hard to get information like that. There was a time, you know, when during a normal election, information would be mailed or people would come to your door and pass it out, whatever. But how do we know who to vote for and what they're standing for and who we're voting for and what they're going to do, you know?
Well, you're in Overbrook, so you're in the 34th Ward. I'm born and raised in 34th Ward. You know, that's up to each individual campaign, you know, in order for you to get you that information. You know, that's not really the commissioner's job to do that. I administer the vote. I count up the votes. You know, so it's on in each individual, you know, campaign that's coming and knocking on your door. You know what I mean? And you know, so that's individual of each campaign. Like, you know.
So Robert, I think what the commissioner is saying, and he's exactly correct. It is the function of the campaigns. It is a function of the democratically elected committee people to really drive out the issues of the candidates, the issues of the campaigns, what they stand for, and what have you. Usually the Committee of 70 has a pretty comprehensive list on their website with respect to who's running, and they try to compile position papers. I think Ballotpedia does the same thing. But the most important thing that we're trying to cover in this election is how to get people functionally, the basic functions of this, how to get people to do their voting from home, vote by mail, vote from the comfort of your own home, vote online, get that ballot into your house, cast it and send it out, and it can all get done. And as we said, the drop dead date is May 26th.
So do you have access to the computer?
Yep. Rob's dropped off. He's not.
Oh, he dropped off.
But
he's
right.
Yeah, he's still listening. He's still listening.
Oh, he's a listener. Okay. Well, Rob. Well, you know. Mm-hmm. Also, too. You know, if you Google search, you know, in particular, a candidate. If you go to PhiladelphiaVotes.com, each name that's on the ballot will be there. You know, and like I say, once you get it, you can do your own research. You know, in today's time, if you Google any name, that'll pretty much tell you. You know, how active they've been, where their positions are on social media. Every typical campaign is probably going to have a Facebook group or something on Instagram, you know, or Twitter, you know. So the internet is pretty; it's a pretty good tool right now. So if you Google search that person's name, that candidate's name, you'll find out. But to actually find out the names, if you go to PhiladelphiaVotes.com, that's our website, and it'll tell you who's all on the ballot. But if you're in Overbrook, everyone is pretty much unopposed. State Representative Morgan Cephas, she doesn't have any competition. Senator Hughes doesn't have any competition. You know, from the presidential standpoint, there is no competition. But there are ballot questions. So, you know, you could do your research on it. But again, PhiladelphiaVotes.com, and it has everyone's name who's running. Then you could do your own research.
Thank you, Robert. Thank you, Commissioner Sabir. Next question, you.
All right, Senator, we're going to go to Francine. Francine, go ahead. You're live with Senator Hughes and guests.
Yes, good evening, Senator. My problem is I moved, and I've been trying to get a change of address, and I don't have a computer, and I cannot get through on the telephone. They give me numbers, but nobody answers. How can I get my address changed?
What's your suggestion on that, Commissioner Sabir?
Well, PennDOT. I mean, PennDOT would be the way to do it. You know, PennDOT. You say you want to change your address, like
She's talking about her voter registration card, their voter registration.
Okay, well, we'll call my office at 215-686. 3462.
3432. And your name again, Omar what?
Omar Sabir. So it's 215-686-3462.
Okay.
So can I ask you a question? So do you just have like do you have a cell phone?
It's not a good one. I'll
it's not
try
a good
to
one.
Google
okay.
it. And I'm kind of I'll do good with stuff like that.
Don't worry about it.
I'm being honest.
Okay, no, it's fine. That's fine. Listen, tomorrow morning, that's our number, and you know, we'll have somebody from our office. We'll walk you through it to get that done. That's no problem.
Okay, thank you so much.
No
thank
problem.
You, Francine. Thank you very
okay.
much. You, who's next?
Thank you, Francine. Let's go to Robert in Winfield. Robert, go ahead. You're live with Senator Hughes and guests.
Yeah, I want to ask you a question in reference to this virus. I mean, how can so many people get infected? If this is this virus airborne or what? What is it?
Good evening. This is Dr. McDonald. The virus is technically spread by droplets. And when we say spread by droplets, what that means is that if someone simply by talking or coughing or sneezing, the droplets actually come out of your mouth, even if they're very small, and they can enter another person's nose, eyes, mouth, and then it gets down into their lungs. That's how the virus is spread. So it's spread by, it's spread by droplets, and it's very efficient. So it quickly spreads from person to person. So that's why we're actually saying wear your mask. Stay 6 feet apart from each other because that decreases the risk of the droplets moving from person to person.
Okay. If I'm infected, how would I know? How do I know if I'm infected?
Okay. Well, that's Dr. Ward, sir. Okay. So symptoms, there are symptoms that are associated with coronavirus. If you have a fever of greater than 100.4, if you're having an unusual cough, if you're having shortness of breath, unusual shortness of breath, if you are exhibiting headaches, if you're exhibiting a unexplained diarrhea, if you're exhibiting unexplained muscle aches, those, and if you're experiencing new loss of taste or smell, those are all signs and symptoms that you could be you could be suffering from coronavirus. However, there are patients who are walking around with coronavirus and they are not aware of it. So there are people who we say are asymptomatic. They do not have symptoms at all. So right now we basically say anyone could be potentially infected. So again, that is why it's important to practice those behaviors that we've discussed. Staying in the house, wearing your mask, staying 6 feet apart from people to mitigate the spread of this disease or slow down the spread of this virus. So we talked about the symptoms that you could display that may suggest that you have coronavirus, or you should contact your doctor if you are having those symptoms, and they can walk you through to how you can get a test. If you do not have a doctor, for people who do not have a doctor, they can call the health department and see how they can arrange for a test. And then we've also talked about the Black Doctors COVID-19 Consortium, who is providing tests around the city for patients who have symptoms.
Okay. What if I go to the emergency room? Will they take me? I got to talk to my doctor first. I mean,
well,
how does this work?
Okay, so you shouldn't go to the emergency room simply for a coronavirus test unless you are having shortness of breath. Okay, but you should still utilize the emergency room for true emergencies. Signs suggestive of a heart attack, chest pain, signs suggestive of a stroke. So the emergency room is still to be used for true emergencies. However, most people with coronavirus have mild symptoms. So for those milder symptoms that you haven't, you should not report to the emergency room. You should, in fact, contact your physician.
All right, Robert.
What the next step should be.
All right, Robert,
Senator,
thank you very much. Appreciate you, Robert. Hugh, who's next, man?
We're going to go to Tanette. Tanette, go ahead. You're live with Senator Hughes and guests.
Good evening, everyone. I have just one. I have a question, but it's for the seniors, and it's about voting from home. I'm involved with a lot of seniors. They don't have computers to sign up for the to get their mail-in ballot. So how are we going to address that? Because there are like senior homes where they are apartments where they don't actually have access to a computer. That the seniors are the ones that vote in every election. So how are they being addressed?
Okay, so what we saw, this is Commissioner Sabir, what we saw as far as the applicants, age groups from 65 and up have actually have filled out the second most, the highest being 18 to 35. So what we're seeing is we're seeing a lot of seniors are actually applying at the second highest rate. So a misconception is that you have to have a computer in order to apply. But if you have your regular phone, your typical phone, you actually can do it on your phone. But, you know, if someone doesn't have a regular smartphone or just a regular phone, we actually can give them a paper application. So if you want to request a paper application, they can fill out the paper application. But, you know, I strongly suggest, you know, trying to do it online. You know, there's also other groups that are using, like, tablets, like AARP. They're actually helping the seniors do it, like I say, on tablets now, because the overwhelming majority of our voter registration and our vote by mail applications have been coming online. And the age group 65 and up, they're second. So they're applying online. They actually are. And like I say, when we say online, we think of a desktop computer, you know, but you can do it, you know, on your, you know, on that phone. You know, you can do it.
I don't think of that. I just think that I'm glad to hear that there's a lot of senior citizens signing up, but there are also a lot of senior citizens that are not tech savvy, even on their phone. And I guess my specific question was, they're not nursing homes, but they're actually senior apartment buildings where family members can't go in, you know.
Correct.
So
right.
Those what I was thinking about. Technology is great, but over a certain age, they're not into it. And that's what I was trying to get addressed.
So we can mail some paper applications. If you give me the actual address, if you have a good connection with who's ever running the facility, you know, we'll make sure, because it's difficult right now. So people that have relationships with those centers, if you can have, you know, the name of the person, whatever, our office can coordinate with you. And we can mail out those applications.
Commissioner Sabir, what's that phone number? And then I want to go to Commissioner Lawrence.
Okay.
Gives a number. Go ahead.
215-686-3462. 215-686-3462. Or my email address is omar.sabir@phila.gov. So, again, our office will be more helpful, you know, to coordinate with you.
Commissioner Lawrence, what's going on in Montgomery County on this issue, man?
In Montgomery County, if you cannot apply online, you can call our voter services office. They are open from 8 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. That number is 610-278-3275, 610-278-3275, and we are happy to mail out applications to people who aren't able to do it online.
Great. So in both circumstances, and I want to be clear, because this is a question that everybody is asking, and it's a very legitimate question. In both counties, in both communities, if you don't have access to computers, you can request the application for a mail-in ballot by calling the respective office, correct?
That's correct. Right, but also, like I say, with our message, and make sure that we're clear that you don't need a computer, you know, to apply online.
Right.
Because some people are under the impression that you need a desktop computer. Like I say, you can do it, you know, through your phone as well. So when you're asking that question, say, hey, you know, you don't have access to a computer or you don't have access to a phone, like cell phone.
Very good. Very good information. We're going to ramp those phone numbers and that whole messaging out dramatically in our communications, because we are very concerned about older adults not having the capacity, because they have technology issues, not having the capacity to do this either online or on their phones. We're going to ramp both of those up. I can assure you of that. Hugh, who's our next caller, sir?
We got a lot of them on hold.
Who's that next caller, man?
Next one, we're going to have Monica. Monica, go ahead. You're live with Senator Hughes and guests.
Hi, yes, Senator Hughes. This is Monica Taylor. How are you?
Monica's one of my regulars, everybody. Monica's one of my regulars. How you doing, Monica?
I'm doing well. Listen, I'm grateful to hear about the information about the seniors because my grandmother is 94 years old, and I spend my time on Sundays just logging seniors into church so they can do online church because they're not even able to really use their computer. So I'm grateful to hear the information that they can call in to request the ballot. But I do have a question for Omar Sabir. Sir, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you, though?
Good. I have a question about you told us to go to votepa.com, and then we
votespa.com.
Okay, thank you. votespa.com. And you said that they need to have their ID. What if they do not have an ID?
Well, then we have to request a paper application.
Okay.
The reason why you have to have the ID is because the signature is on file. So that way they can run it with PennDOT and then just pull the signature off, you know. So that's why, like I said, so it's a driver's license or, you know, your regular, you know, ID. But if you don't have it, you know, just still, you know, request, you know, the application and then they could do it, you know, via paper. That's not a problem.
Great. And then my last point about the ID, if the ID has expired, is it still fine to use that ID? Because,
yes.
Some of the people's ID was due in March or April, and DMV has been closed.
Yeah, I understand that. They should try it. I mean, they should try it. And then, like I said, if they have any issues, you know, call our office. But
okay.
It should be, you know, being as though we're in that situation. I mean, it said file it. But then again, if the DMVs are closed, the people, you know, so I heard it was like an extension. Maybe Senator Hughes, so I can expand upon that a little bit more.
That's correct. Yes, there is. And if you have any, there is an extension. If you have any issues, if you can't get the answer you're looking for,
mm-hmm.
it, in either Commissioner Sabir's office or Commissioner Lawrence's phone number, you call our office, 215-879-7777, 215-879-7777, and we'll do everything that we can to try to get this all worked out. Okay,
thank you,
Monica?
So very much. Thank you so
all
very
right.
much. You all have a blessed evening.
Thank you so much. All right, Hugh, who's next?
Okay, Senator, we're going to go to Angela. Angela, go ahead. You're live with Senator Hughes and Guest.
Oh, hello, everyone, and thank you
Angela.
For taking the call. It's about voting. If I do vote by the paper ballot and mail it in, do I become restricted to that form of voting in the future? As far
no.
as local or national?
No.
Commissioner Sabir says
yeah,
no. Commissioner Lawrence, you want to add to that?
And that would be a no. No, you can still go and vote in person in the general.
Okay, and in the future for the very important election coming up in November as well, are you anticipating that the polls will, again, physical polls will be reopened?
I'm not anticipating anything. We're taking it week by week with COVID-19. This is the first time in history that these things have been happening. You know, we don't know. You know, we're
okay.
taking it day by day.
Commissioner Lawrence, you talked about this earlier, and Commissioner Sabir is right, because this stuff is moving so rapidly. It could be one thing in the morning and something else in the afternoon. Commissioner Lawrence, how do folks in Montgomery County, how are they planning for all of this? Because this is a very serious time, and you know the opportunity to spread this pandemic even more through this process is real. It's real. It's serious.
Yeah, a large number of our polling facilities are actually in senior living facilities or senior centers. So clearly. You know, they don't want a great number of people coming through. And I don't think that that's likely to change for the November election either. I don't think we're going to be at the point where people will be comfortable with that. We're focusing our plan around schools because the schools are closed now, obviously, and we'll be able to socially distance there. So that's what, you know, people aren't thinking about, too. When I see the pictures from Wisconsin of the people on the lines there, we need to be able to socially distance here. So we need big buildings. Some of the places where we would typically have the election, even if they would have us, you know, the firehouses and such, they're just not big enough to be able to socially distance there. So we're looking for locations where we can have social distancing there. We're going to have a lot of hand sanitizer. We're going to make sure that that our poll workers have masks. You know, we even have to think about pens, right, because we're voting, marking the ballots now. So we're going to ask people to bring their own pens. But clearly, if somebody doesn't have a pen, we're going to give them a pen. But that pen's probably only going to be used once then, you know, because are we going to be able to sanitize pens in between? So there's a whole lot that every time we think we have the list covered, you know, someone says, well, what about this? But look, we're gonna do everything we can to keep our poll workers safe and keep the voters safe. But the safest thing to do in this election is to vote by mail. And I mentioned before, some want to make this a political thing. I don't know how you're having politics in a partisan primary anyway. You know, this isn't about – November is going to be November, and as Commissioner Sabir said, we'll deal with that then. But right now, the safest thing to do for our poll workers, for our voters, for your neighbors who are going out there is to vote by mail.
Let me ask, if I could ask the doctors this question. Doctors, what should folks be thinking about on election day if they want to vote, but they haven't done it beforehand, they haven't done a mail-in ballot? What should they be thinking about if they want to vote on election day?
How should
they be conducting themselves?
So this is Dr. McDonald here. So ideally, you should do mail-in vote, but if that doesn't happen for one reason or another, you have to go to the polling site. Do not leave your home without a mask. Do not go there without a mask. Once you get to the polling site, you want to make sure that you are socially distancing from one another. You know, you need to be at least 6 feet away. Sometimes there's, depending on how busy it is that day, sometimes there's a line. People tend to stand pretty close together. You want to make sure there's proper social distancing going on. Some people will like to wear gloves. If you want to wear gloves, that's totally fine. But once you leave that voter registration booth, you should probably discard those gloves right away. Because what you don't want to do is go in with those gloves on, come out, then go in your car, touch your driver's wheel, then touch your face. So the goal is to decrease what we call cross-contamination. So get rid of those gloves if you do decide to wear them. And make sure you're washing your hands constantly, constantly, constantly. And to a point that was already made, If you have to check off something, you know, pens, sometimes we know that this virus can last on surfaces. It could be passed, you know, along with the pens, so you have to be careful with that also. So wear your mask, socially distance, wash your hands. If you wear your gloves, take them off once you come out of the booth or finish using the pen, whichever way you're going to do it.
Great. Thank you very much, Dr. Hugh, who's our next caller? We got a whole bunch in queue. Who we got next,
yes,
sir?
Yes, we do. We're going to go to Linda. Linda, go ahead. You're live with Senator Hughes and guests.
Good evening, everyone.
Hi, Linda.
My question is regarding voting. I'm not sure if I understood Mr. Sabir correctly that there would be a mailing of ballots. Is this on a requested basis only, or is this a mass ballot mailing?
It's by request only. There's a lot of moving parts when it comes to elections. You know, you got the local, you got state, you got federal, so they're all moving around. So a lot of these changes and a lot of the rules, they're not just, you know, coming from Commissioner Sabir. You know, Act 77 was signed into law last year, and we actually had a couple of revisions with the law that actually brought us vote by mail, which, I mean, it was a great thing that actually got passed. But the only problem is that there wasn't no money in there for the outreach and education. So that's what we're working on now. That's a good thing. And like I say, you know, when you do it, it's the best way to do it. You know, go to votespa.com and do it. But we're
so
not going
to. So you have to.
Right.
You have to request a ballot.
We're not going.
Is regarding the phone number was 215-686-3462. Is that correct for requesting a ballot?
Well, no. So the number you want to do to request it, that's the number to our office. You can call 877-VOTES-PA and press option 3, and you can request, if you're just trying to request the ballot via the phone, you can do it that way. Now, you call the 686 number, the 215-686-3462, if you need an application. Like, we can send you guys, we can mail you out an application. But you actually can do it. You can apply on the 877-VOTES-PA option 3 number.
All right, that's 877-VOTES-PA option 3.
Yep.
Yes.
And if you have any question, Linda, to call 215-879-7777. That's our office, okay?
Yes. Thank you, Senator Hughes.
All right. Thank you, Linda. Hugh, who's next?
Senator, we're going to go to Kimberly. Kimberly, go ahead. You're live with Senator Hughes and guests.
Hey, Kimberly.
Oh, my gosh. I'm so excited to be on the call. Hi, guys. Thank you all so much for being here. Hey, listen. So I've been listening. I think I'm pretty intelligent as well as everyone else on the phone. But I would just appreciate it if you could just walk me one last time so we could talk about the process. I actually did go online, and I printed out the Pennsylvania application and mail ballot. I'm looking at it. So now I see that there is a mail-in address. I completed the form. I'm going to mail it to the address. Tell me again clearly what happens next.
Okay, once we receive it,
Then
we'll process it. And then, if you signed it, if all the information is, in line, we're going to mail you a ballot.
Are you questioning me? What do you mean if the information is in line? Come on, sir. I'm totally kidding. I have a website.
No.
Kim, behave yourself, Kim.
Okay, I'm sorry.
I want to make sure that you sign it because out of the application that had been rejected, people haven't been signing it.
Oh, see, that's a good point then. So I have signed it, and I'm dating it as we speak. I'm going to address my envelope, and then I will put it in the mail and then hurry up and wait on a ballot. So when I receive the ballot, complete it, do my research, find out about the candidates, complete the ballot, and then mail it back, and I'm good to go by the date and allow time for at least 4 days.
Right, but as soon as you get it, go ahead and do it. Just do it. Don't wait. Don't count out the 4 to 6 days. If you get your ballot, a week prior to, whatever time you get it, as soon as you get it, send it back.
Okay, awesome. So I just want to make sure I had the process. You guys have been incredibly helpful. Thank you, Senator Hughes and friends.
Kim will get this done before the hour is over, okay?
I'm doing it as we speak, my friend.
And she will walk down to the little mailbox.
You got it right on the corner. Right? You think I ain't what I am? I am right now.
Good to hear your voice, Kim. Good to hear your voice.
It's my pleasure. Thanks for all you do. I appreciate you.
Thank you, sis. Who you got next, man?
Senator, we're going to go to Sheila. She has a question about the difference between a mail-in ballot and absentee ballot. Sheila, go ahead. You're live with Senator Hughes and guests.
Good evening, Senator Hughes. My name is Sheila Adams, and I'm calling from West Philadelphia.
Hey, Sheila.
Hello, and thank you guys for being there because we need all the help we can get at this point. And we just need for everyone to take this very seriously. The numbers that they keep saying every day, those numbers represent bodies which represent people. And I don't get why everybody's not getting this, but that's not what my question is. Anyway, my question is about the difference between a absentee ballot and a mail-in ballot, and how are they counted at the end of the day?
Okay, so when the legislator made the change with Act 77, it actually was a Republican bill. And so they didn't want to pit, like early voting, like in legislation from what I was told. So it's a no excuse absentee ballot, right? That's what you're filling out. So it's no excuse. So that means typically with absentee ballot, if you wasn't inside of the county during election day, then you can apply, or if you had health challenges, it's no excuse. So anybody can fill out this absentee ballot. It's a no excuse absentee ballot. Anybody can fill out for it, and that's what it is. So it's really no difference.
There is no difference?
No.
Okay, so at the end of the day, when they do the count, that number goes in right along with the numbers that are pulled from the machine.
Right, so we had a new change. Right, so we had a new change.
See, the thing is, I used to work at the polls.
Right.
I know that it used to be an issue about, you know, how they counted those ballots at the end of the day. So I'm just trying to find out the best way so that we can make sure that all of the votes that are cast are actually counted.
Okay, well, so here's what's pretty much the issue. Okay, so with the legislation change, right, we have to receive mm-hmm. your ballot by 8 p.m. on Election Day on June 2nd. We have to have it physically in our hand. Before, we could take postmarks. So that was like something like the discrepancy, right? We could take a postmark. If it was postmarked by Election Day, we would then, you know, add it, you know, to the count. You know, so, but we couldn't do it, you know, on Election Day. But now we can, so we can start counting at 7 a.m. when Election Day open, and we start counting at 8 p.m. So, you know, now.
I think the important thing, I don't mean to cut you off, Commissioner Sabir. Right. I want to make sure that Sheila and everybody understands that it's essentially the same. The most important thing to do is to get it in ASAP. And we want to all, for health reasons, which is why we have the doctors on the line, for process reasons, which is why we have Commissioner Lawrence and Commissioner Sabir on the line, because we really would prefer not to have a lot of people hanging around on Election Day, voting on Election Day. We want to get as much of that stuff done before Election Day, so there's very few people hanging around going to the polling place on Election Day. So it's votespa.com, votespa.com, 877-VOTES-PA, 877-VOTES-PA, and those are the main focuses, okay, about what we want to try to get folks to do, all right? And there'll be a lot more public conversation about this over the next couple of weeks, because the drop-dead deadline for voter registration is May 18th, and the drop-dead deadline for to mail in those ballots is May 26th. We're running close on time, and we have maybe Hugh. Maybe we can deal with one more caller, and then I'll have all of our guests make final wrap up comments. Hugh, who you got?
Okay, we're going to go to Ronald in Lafayette Hill. Ronald, go ahead. You're live with Senator Hughes and guests.
Hey, Ronald.
Thank you. Hi, Senator Hughes. Thank you so much for hosting this tonight.
Thank you.
I have a concern. I don't know if it's a question or a concern recommendation. Listening to Commissioner Sabir earlier, he said he had a concern of, you know, low black participation in the mail-in vote, as well as I'm living out here in Lafayette Hill, talking to friends and family, social media, people who say, I'm not mailing in for whatever reason. You know, there's a litany of reasons. But having worked for local government for 35 years in an operations standpoint, I had plenty of experience setting up voting locations. And in this particular time in our life, the concern would be having separate ingress and a separate egress, so you don't have voters, you know, passing each other, you know, in and out. You know, so that's one of the things that's going to restrict where you're going to vote. But just as we have mail-in vote, so it extends that window to vote, why can't we do the same for live voting? My concern is maybe not so much for this time around for the primary, but certainly for November. I mean, why couldn't we extend it for 2 or 3 days so people could not, you know, overrun the polls and practice social distancing? I mean, I think it would be a great thing to do, and we would try to not shut out as many people by, you know, trying to limit and push the mail-in vote. The mail-in vote's a great thing, Senator. I think it's a super thing. But just an idea or a suggestion. Is that possible to do?
Well, I'll take that one, because that requires changing the state law to do that. I think what's going to happen is that there's going to be a serious evaluation leading up to Election Day on June 2nd, and then an assessment of how things happened on June 2nd to go forward. And everybody's going to have to be involved. That's why our doctors are part of this conversation, because we're going to have to look at this from a number of different standpoints. You raise a great point, Ronald. You know, what's the health impact, all right? What's the logistics, okay? You know, how long will this last? We're pretty much guaranteed that the November election is going to be a huge turnout in November, huge turnout in November, for all the reasons that I think are obvious to everyone. So the question then becomes is, what can we learn going up to June 2nd, and what do we learn immediately after June 2nd so that we can think about any changes that might need to occur for the November election? So I think, you know, multiple, you know, sometimes it's multiple days of, or in some states they've had multiple days of early voting, all right?
Right.
You know, what's going to be the impact, what's going to be the implication of the impact of reducing the number of physical locations to go and vote? The idea of placing locations in schools, okay, because schools are closed. And then you can create different egress and different ingress. So those are all good points. I think you raise a great question. We're going to look for a lot of input from our commissioners and from our health community doctors so that they can inform us of what is the best practices in terms of keeping healthy. So thanks, Ron. Appreciate your call, man.
Thank you very much.
Appreciate you.
Right. Thank you.
We're going to go around the horn. We'll start with our commissioners. We'll start with Commissioner Ken Lawrence from Montgomery County. Commissioner Lawrence, any last thoughts you want to leave with everybody on the call?
I think Ronald just had a great idea there. And that is totally your purview, Senator. So I won't touch that, but I actually think 2 or 3 days will definitely help with the social distancing that needs to take place.
Yep.
Once again, I want to emphasize that the polls will be open, and we're going to do everything to ensure the safety of the voters and the poll workers who come out. But the safest thing to do in this primary election is to apply to vote by mail at www.votespa.com. And as Omar said, you know, we'll deal with November. We've got to get through June 2nd first. And as you said, Senator, the fewer people that we have coming out to vote in person in June, I think the better off we all will be. So I thank you for your commitment to communicating that.
Great. Commissioner Lawrence, how do folks find you on social media, sir?
You can follow me on Twitter at Ken Lawrence Jr. And I'm on Facebook and Instagram as well. And I'll be running tomorrow, Senators, just so you know.
You don't miss a day. Thank you, man. Thank you. That's Commissioner Ken Lawrence. He's one of our commissioners in Montgomery County. He's a great young man doing a great job out there. Commissioner Sabir, what's the last thoughts that you want to leave with all of our constituents, all of our attendees on the call?
This is uncharted territory. So the Senator spoke about, you know, we're getting data, you know, we're getting information as to way how we do it. But if you have a picture in your mind previously the way how Election Day looked, June the 2nd will not look like that. I just want to be, you know, clear about that when you're thinking about options. You know, again, you know, we possibly may have about 100 polling locations open, and we had 831 prior. So this isn't a vacuum, you know what I mean? So to make it easier for you, please, you know, stay at home, you know, and vote. It's the easiest way to do it. Again, you can reach out to us at 215-686-3462. That's my office. If you have any issues, any more questions or concerns, or you want us to mail out the paper applications, if you have trouble going online to apply for your application, please let us know. We definitely will be, assisted to you. And again, May the 26th is the deadline. We have to have them in our hand by May the 26th at 5 p.m. We have to have them in our hand. But please, let's not wait till the last minute. And on June the 2nd, by 8 p.m., I have to have your completed ballot in my hand. So, again, stay at home. Let's have a safe vote. And we will not allow COVID-19 to stop our vote.
Great. Thank you, Commissioner Sabir. Commissioner Sabir, how do folks track you down online, sir? Where are you at on social media?
Okay, on Instagram, I'm at Omar, O-M-A-R, 4-F-O-R, Philly. And on Facebook, Commissioner Omar Sabir. And we're on Twitter as well, Omar Sabir.
There you go. Thank you, Commissioner. Appreciate you. Appreciate you. You and Commissioner Lawrence very much. Y'all did a great job this evening. And again, those websites, votespa.gov, votespa.com. And votespa.com. See, I was checking to see if you were paying attention. Right?
I'm paying attention now, man.
votespa.com, votespa.com. That's the website you want to go to. 877-VOTES-PA, 877-VOTES-PA. Commissioner Sabir's office number is 215-686-3462. Now, the secret that we want to put out about our two doctors here as they give their closing remarks. I'll wait. Let them give their closing remarks, and I'll put out the secret. Dr. Elena McDonald, tell us the last thing that you want our constituents to know.
It is in your best interest to stay in the House on primary day, so please mail in your applications. Continue to social distance. Wear your mask over your face and your nose. You absolutely have to go out and wash your hands as much as possible.
Great. Dr. Delaina Wardlaw, what's the last comments that you'd like our folks to know?
Coronavirus is not a conspiracy. Some people still think that. It affects everyone. We have to take an individual responsibility to stop the spread of this virus by following the recommendations. We also need to be sure to continue to take care of our chronic health conditions, because it's our job as patients and as your family physician and as your pediatrician to make sure that you are staying healthy so that you can avoid having to go to the emergency room or having to have a surgery or having to go to the hospital. We are trying to keep you away from that during this time. And still, please use the ER for appropriate medical emergencies only. Otherwise, contact your physician, but please don't stay home if you're having signs of a heart attack and or stroke or acute mental status changes.
Dr. Delaina Wardlaw, how do folks, are you on social media? Have we got you up on social media yet? Have we encouraged you, convinced you yet?
Yes, you did. Yes, you did, Senator. So we are on social media, and you can find Dr. McDonald and I at Twin Sister Docs on Instagram. So that's at Twin Sister Docs on Instagram. And you can also find us on Facebook at Twin Sister Docs. And you can also find me at my office at Temple Physicians, 4350 Germantown Avenue at Germantown and Denny Street.
Dr. Elena McDonald, do you have any social, are you on Twitter or anything like that?
Well, I'm not on Twitter, but Dr. Warline and I are on the same Instagram page under Twin Sister Docs.
There you go.
And my office is Memphis Street. You can find my office, memphisstreetpediatrics.com, online.
There you go. So they call themselves Twin Sister Docs for a reason. These two young ladies are twins, identical twins, okay? Identical twins. They're both fine, fabulous doctors practicing in the community, providing great information, great healthcare services, and we're proud of them, very, very, very proud of them for what they're doing and their accomplishments, as well as we're proud of our two commissioners, Commissioner Lawrence in Montgomery County, Commissioner Sabir in Philadelphia. So we thank you all very much. If you have any questions that were not answered, give us a call at our office, 215-879-7777. Go to senatorhughes.com, senatorhughes.com. Our offices are physically closed, but we're tending to all of our issues, all of our business through the phones and through the email. So reach out, and we haven't said her name this evening, and we can't go without one of these calls, Hugh, without saying her name. Tiffany Wilson is the person to contact in the office.
Yes.
And she will make sure that she gets you an answer and some good information. Hugh, anything else we need to put out there?
No, first of all, I'd like to thank you, Senator. I thought you were pulling my leg about the doctors being identical twins. I didn't want to confirm that I didn't have an inkling of that, but thank you for that. The one thing I did want to mention for housekeeping purposes, if you didn't have a chance to ask Senator Hughes your question or his guest this evening, just remain on the line. You'll be able to leave your question on a voicemail for Senator Hughes, and they'll get back to you. Again, Senator Hughes' contact numbers are 215-879-7777. 7777, or his website is senatorhughes.com. It's been a wonderful evening. Enjoy the rest of your evening.
And we'll be back with you next week, next Wednesday. We'll have our next telephone town hall next Wednesday. Next Wednesday. Look out for us for the time. Thank you all very much. Appreciate you. Thank you.
Have a good night.
Thank you. Good night.